You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday, October 20th. Unfortunately, we couldn't link up with Tony Serino. We had some technical difficulties on my end. So we will be trying to bring him in later for the week. No Tony Tuesday today, but we still got a lot to talk about. Leading off the show, we'll do a news and notes segment to go over things that happened Monday, get you caught up to speed on all that. But then in the second segment, I'm going to explain with more detail why this is not as much of a panic button situation with the loss of Devin Bush for the season as one might think. And finally, I want to talk about the slot cornerbacks on this team and the guys that are playing in the interior of the defense floating around. This is going to focus specifically on Mike Hilton and Cameron Sutton, because they're playing very well and it's completely unsung in what the Steelers are doing defensively. All that right on today's show. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Sorry again we couldn't link up with Tony Serino for a Tony Tuesday. Really was excited to do so. We were ready to do so, but I lost power. That's how this game works sometimes, I guess. Yeah, so I live at Homewood, and I'm just like, I'm doing some stuff, I'm getting ready, and I'm like, all right, we're going to do this at 8:30, and then, bloop, I lose power for like hours, and it was a nightmare. So I'm recording this very late in the evening after doing a lot of work for DKPittsburghSports.com. You can go read that, by the way, right now. It's up on the site, so check that out when you can. We'll try to bring Tony back later in the week. We've got Dean and Pietro coming on tomorrow. I'm going to see if we can bring those two back together for another show tomorrow, because that was a lot of fun last week. But let's do a news and notes segment here, because a lot of different things happen, and I didn't want to just necessarily do a segment about each one of them. So first and foremost, we've got to talk about, Devin Bush officially, well, not officially, it's still... Steelers haven't said exactly what the injury is, but we can all, I mean, it's pretty much all but confirmed. He's torn his ACL, he's out for the year. At least I think that's the case by the time we're recording this. All indications say, that he's gone for the year. Don't hold out hope that he's coming back, or that this is a sprain that just looked really bad and that he's going to be coming back. I don't think that that's ever going to happen this year. You got to prepare for life without him. But we'll talk about that in the second segment. But what did happen was the Titans also had their injury on their point. Taylor Lewan, who's, one of their best offensive linemen, maybe their best offensive lineman, their left tackle, he went down with a torn ACL of his own, and he announced it himself on Twitter that he was out for the season. That's a big deal, because Taylor Lewan is a huge part of their running game. Yes, Derrick Henry is a beast, but that offensive line for the Titans has opened up good enough holes for him to pick up steam and let him get going. Without him, there's going to be some questions on the offensive line. And also, when it comes to protecting Ryan Tannehill. So, big news there for him to be out for the season. And it may balance out a little bit when you look at the Steelers and the Titans and some matchups things. But, of course, we'll get to that later in the week. We have all week to talk about matchups and everything else here. We got other things to talk about here, and we got to talk about what happened on Monday Night Football. Now, the Cowboys got slaughtered by the Cardinals. We really don't care about that, because the Steelers are going to play the Cowboys later. Andy Dalton's on. It's looking rough for the Cowboys, man. They're toast. I mean, first of all, anyone who picked the Cowboys with Andy Dalton playing in prime time, what were you doing? But the big story that's relevant to the Steelers and their standings is the Chiefs versus the Bills, which was arguably the game of the week for everyone. The Steelers and the Browns were it for us Steelers folk, but both teams coming off a loss, both teams sitting at 4-1, and the Chiefs rebounded strong and in a way that was not typical of this Chiefs team. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran 26 times for 161 yards. They pounded the Bills into submission with that ground game. And they were able to keep Josh Allen in check. 14 of 27, only 122 yards and two touchdowns with an interception at the end of the game. And they kept the running game in check. Devin Singletary for the Bills had only 10 carries for 32 yards. Josh Allen had eight scrambles for 42 yards. But ultimately, the Chiefs defense kept the Bills in check. And the Bills defense got ran all over. And now the Chiefs are 5-1. The Bills are 4-2. And that puts the Steelers in a really interesting spot in this AFC, which makes it even more important for them to get this W next week and go 6-0. Because this is, I mean, they're in effect, they're in a chase right now for that number one spot. That number one spot? A ludicrous reference right there for all the people who are uncultured. But anyways, the thing is that they're chasing right now for all these teams for that number one spot in the AFC. And as you may not remember you may remember yourself, the AFC playoff picture has shifted this year because there are seven teams going to the AFC playoffs. That means only one team gets a bye, and it's the number one seed. So now that number one seed is even more important to get than normal years because it's the only one that's getting a bye. So as they're chasing for that in 5-0, they're keeping it. It's important to keep an eye on teams like the Chiefs, who are 5-1, and teams like the Bills, who are 4-2. So really interesting stuff here. But it's also the way that these teams played each other, because the Chiefs' defense didn't look immaculate in what they did to the Bills. They looked like they were very beatable. And the Chiefs' offense looked like it could be contained at times, because the Steelers wouldn't give up this kind of game on the ground. At least we don't think they would, because of the way they stopped the run. And with their athleticism on defense, you'd think that they'd be able to maybe just work against Patrick Mahomes to limit him. I'm not sure if you can stop Patrick Mahomes, but if you can limit him, then you can make things work. And their efficiency on offense, I think, would be a lot more efficient than what Josh Allen was offering on his own, because the Bills really were working just a ground game with him and Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. And once that was taken away, you know, Josh Allen was able to hit some guys here and there. He hit Stephon Diggs for some nice plays, and Cole Beasley was worked into it. But their passing game is not nearly what the Steelers have with the efficiency that Ben Roethlisberger is showing, and the multi threats he has in the receiving game. So I really think that the Steelers are much higher up in the actual, you know, if it was to be my power rankings, the Steelers would be right at the top of the AFC. It's the Chiefs because they're still the champions, and the Steelers. I'd even put them ahead of the Ravens right now, just the way they're playing. But I thought that the way this game played out on Monday Night Football was very interesting. We're going to go to our first break here in the show, but when we come back, I'm going to talk to you more about what's happening without Devin Bush on the team. It's bad, but maybe not as bad as you think. All that right after this. Before we get there, let's talk about our great sponsor, Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Sometimes I like to watch this season with a cold Pepsi when Ben Roethlisberger is throwing one of those touchdowns that he's thrown several times this year. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get to talking about what's going on without Devin Bush here a little bit more in depth. I went over it a little bit in the show, but I had the All-22 came out, so I was able to get a better look at what happened in this game and a lot of the things the Steelers were able to do on the back end. And I got to say, the panic button doesn't need to get pressed for Devin Bush going out the way that a lot of people, including myself, thought it was when you saw him not getting up on the sidelines. Now, again, it does look like everything is a torn ACL with him and he's out for the year. But the Steelers, I know where you're going, guys. I know where you're probably thinking is, and I saw it on social, all over social media, is this is 2017 all over again. Because 2017, Ryan Shazier, Steelers defense playing very well with him in it. The Steelers are 13-3 in that season, and he gets hurt, and then the defense has to basically turn into a shell of what it was when he was in there because he made up so much of the defense. And when they had to do that, you had Artie Burns blitzing, you had rookie T.J. Watt covering, you had Arthur Motes playing inside linebacker, you had them hiring linebackers off the street to become starters. And it was just, it was a rough predicament. They weren't as athletic across the board. But here's the thing. You look at how this defense is built this year and compare it to that year, and you see they're nothing alike. This is, and now granted, the one thing is that both teams love to blitz the quarterback and are predicated on getting to the quarterback. But this team is more efficient at getting to the quarterback, and this team has better protection behind those who are getting to the quarterback. Case in point, you remember that secondary in 2017? Sure, Joe Hayden was in his first year with the Steelers, but also there was Mike Mitchell at free safety, and Sean Davis at strong safety, and Artie Burns at the other cornerback position, and Cody Sensabaugh backing him up. And you had first year on the team for Mike Hilton and Cameron Sutton. Now, mind you, both of these guys were good, but they weren't at nearly at the level of chemistry that they have right now on the team. And who makes up that secondary now? Sure, you guys still got Joe Hayden, but now you've got Steven Nelson, a major upgrade over Artie Burns or Cody Sensabaugh from that year. Minkah Fitzpatrick, a super duper duper major upgrade over Mike Mitchell. And that's not knocking Mike Mitchell. I'm one of those guys that I wasn't down on him as much as many people were. He was a thumper safety in just a time when the thumper free safety was not as important to the Steelers as it was when they had Troy Polamalu. Because with Ryan Shazier in, it made sense to have Mike Mitchell. I'm getting off topic. That's a whole other debate for a whole other day. But with the way that the Steelers operate right now, Minkah Fitzpatrick as the center fielding free safety, miles above the importance of what Mike Mitchell had in that defense. At strong safety, Terrell Edmonds. And I know a lot of people get on Terrell Edmonds, but this brother's playing very well. He's covering running backs. He's covering tight ends. The Steelers are giving up the fewest amount of catches to the running back position. And I think they've given up the seventh fewest amount of catches to tight ends, despite being like one of the most targeted teams by opponents when they go to their tight ends. I think opponents have gone after the tight end position 40 times this year against the Steelers through five games. They've only allowed 20 catches and I think one touchdown. That's impressive. Now, granted, Devin Bush is part of both of those. But here's the thing. Steelers have the athleticism to work around each of those positions. And I wrote about this at the top of the DK Pittsburgh Sports website for my Carter's Classroom column this week. Go and check that out. I go over all the different plays and how it works. But when you look at it, you can see, even when Devin Bush was in there, he wasn't the focal point of coverage over the middle of the field. He was a part of the equation. But when it came to how he played compared to how Shazier played, it's a very different situation. It's a very different complex because Shazier would cover for all the other weaknesses on the team. Devin Bush isn't covering for any weaknesses. He's literally just playing a role. He's very good at that role, and he's a big reason why the Steelers have done so well at keeping receivers, you know, covered and everything. But this is that when you look at the tape, you see on the Minkah Fitzpatrick pick six, Devin Bush is blitzing. Robert Spillane can fill that role. And when Devin Bush is blitzing, you see Minkah Fitzpatrick drop from a deep cover two look into a cover one robber, and Baker Mayfield falls for it. You can see in other plays where Devin Bush is lined up in the middle of the field, but he may go somewhere else while Terrell Edmonds drops into coverage, or Mike Hilton patrols the middle of the field, and they're playing within their respective skill sets. They're not asking somebody to step way outside of themselves the way the Steelers had to when Ryan Shazier went down. And again, there's multiple moving pieces that work for this defense that compensate for it very well. Now, part of this equation is part of this equation, of course, is the fact that you got Terrell Edmonds, Mike Hilton, and Cam Sutton in the middle of the defense. I'll get to Sutton and Hilton a little bit more in depth in this next segment. But there was a play on second down where the Steelers were able to blitz Mike Hilton right in the face of Baker Mayfield. Hilton was ready to tackle the run if it was an inside zone run. But when he saw Mayfield kept it, he went right to him, got in his face, and Mayfield tried to dump it down to his tight end. And guess who was blanketing that tight end? Terrell Edmonds. He knows where he's supposed to be. Again, this guy's like, what, 22 years old? And he's already playing so savvy for this team. I think he's actually 23. Might be underselling his age. But the point is, that's still extremely young. And he's playing well. He's not a turnover machine, but he's covering for so many different options. But when you look at how the defense is built, they have all those moving pieces. Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson playing on the outside very well. Edmonds and Fitzpatrick jumping between who's jumping down into the robber's role, who's jumping back to play center field defense. And when you saw Robert Spillane go in for Devin Bush, you didn't see them change up their entire defensive scheme. He's still dropping back into coverage, playing zone. And yes, he's not nearly as athletic as Devin Bush going side to side in his horizontal speed. But he is competent in his zone drops. He does have an understanding of what his roles were. There was one play, and it's one of those plays that isn't a splash play. It's one of those plays that isn't a game changer that you remember for the rest of your life. But there was a play where the Steelers line up, and Spillane's the only off-ball linebacker. Everyone else is a defensive back behind the Steelers' defensive front. And when this play starts, the Steelers, again, are showing that cover two look. Now, if you don't know what cover two is just simply there's two high safeties or two high defensive backs that are lined up way back saying, hey, each of these guys look like they're covering the deep halves of the field. And normally that says to the quarterback, the middle of the field's open. So when you show that, oftentimes, like what they did with Minkah Fitzpatrick, they showed on his pick six, they showed cover two, they switched to cover one robber. Cover one robber means one guy's playing deep middle zone, one guy's playing underneath middle zone. And that underneath middle zone was Minkah. Baker Mayfield thought with cover two he could target the middle of the field. Minkah jumped that, and the fake cover two fooled him into throwing there. Now, with this play that I'm talking about with Spillane looks like he's going to be the only defender in the middle of the field on a cover two zone. But at the snap of the ball, you see this time, instead of Minkah coming up, you see Edmonds come up. And Minkah drops back to play center field. And instead of a cover one defense, this is a cover three. And what happens with a cover three is you have two guys patrolling that middle, that underneath middle zone, with one guy playing deep behind them. And with that look, what happens is Jarvis Landry runs a seam, and the Browns wanted to get him to run him right by Spillane and hope that they could get him one-on-one for a big play. But what happens here is that Spillane, instead of looking like he's the only guy, he bumps to the right a little bit, Edmonds comes down, and then the two of them can pinch on Landry. So then Baker Mayfield stood there, and it was a tempting play where you're saying, hey, Baker, please throw it to Jarvis Landry where you thought he was going to be wide open. We'd love another interception. Baker Mayfield that time makes the smart call and checks down to Austin Hooper. But what happens is that Robert Spillane immediately comes out of his zone, comes up, makes a solid hit and a tackle for no gain after the play. It leads to third and one, and the Steelers are able to get the stop right after that. But all that scheming and disguising, that helps make a good defense. That helps do what Keith Butler's trying to do on this defense. And it shows that Spillane is able to do that and comprehend what the whole point of the defense is while still executing it. And on top of all of that, according to interviews done this morning, or not this morning, I'm sorry, Monday morning, the Steelers said that Robert Spillane took the green dot from Devin Bush. Meaning that, if you don't know what the green dot is, he's the guy that hears the calls in from the defensive coordinator, Keith Butler, and then relays the signals to the defense to get everyone on the same page. And that's no easy job. That's a lot of responsibility in understanding what everyone's roles is and what he has to say to different people to get them on the same page. And the Steelers didn't miss a beat. They gave up one touchdown in the second quarter when one guy just came off his man a little too quickly. But after that, they shut everything else down that the Browns were trying to do. So the fact that Robert Spillane knows what he's supposed to do and seems like he understands how his different zone drops can play into disguised roles within the defense is a very good sign that the Steelers do not have to sell out and break the bank on trying to revamp this defense without Devin Bush. And again, in my article on DKPittsburghSports.com and Carter's Classroom on this, you can go right to the tape, and I bring up a play at the end of 2017 without Ryan Shazier in the middle of the defense. The Steelers are trying to do all these different things. And it's funny enough, they're playing the Browns at Heinz Field, and it's DeShone Kizer. And he sees Rashard Higgins on a slant route. And who did the Steelers try to line up with him? Rookie T.J. Watt in man coverage with no support, because that's how barren they were. That's how hurt up they were. They didn't know who they could drop back and who they could have doing different roles. It left them, when the cupboard's bare as far as your talent and what you can and who you can move around and the versatility, it forces you to get more desperate, and that's why that defense struggled in their last few games. That's why Blake Bortles in that offense were able to hurt them so much in that playoff game. They had to compensate for a lot. This defense does it. And again, not as a knock on Devin Bush, because he was playing well, and he's a big reason why he played into his role well, and he deserves credit for the reasons why they've limited running backs and tight ends. But in replacing him right now, you're losing a step, but you're not losing the fundamental pillar that makes the defense go. A bigger loss in this regard would be T.J. Watt or Stephon Tuitt or Cam Hayward or even Bud Dupree right now. If they lose two of those guys, then I'd be like, okay, now we're talking problems. If they lost Minka, then we'd be talking problems. But Devin Bush has the potential to become a great linebacker in this league. I don't think he's a great linebacker per se yet, but he's young, he's very good, and it is sad that he's not going to be there. But I just do think the Steelers can keep going and keep their defense playing at a high level even without him in this situation. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about these slot cornerbacks for the Steelers and what they're able to do more specifically to also help with this situation. Before we do that, we got to talk about our great sponsor, Rock Auto. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's L-O-C-K-E-D, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, you can break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in just 1.5 ounce packages. You can put the package in your briefcase for your most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to help you power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to help you get through the day or through your workout. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling in the end. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with protein, and that protein is fast absorbing to get into your system fast. Plus, it's easier on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my workout: beta-alanine, B3, honey, and just a little kick of caffeine. And Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong. It's got B6 and B12. And Built Go helps you get healthier joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use their code LOCKED, that's L-O-C-K-E-D, LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, LOCKED, for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go! Alrighty then, we don't have to do any more else on the commercial breaks. Let's get back into talking about this defense. And I am specifically focusing on the defense here because I think that this is a major concern for the Steelers moving forward. But I want to talk about these slot cornerbacks and the roles that they're able to provide. Now, we got to see how Mike Hilton plays into this. Because I do believe he's a little dinged up this week, but I don't think he's too dinged up, at least from what I've heard. But Cam Sutton and him have a lot of chemistry on this team. They're both very smart defenders, instinctual defenders, and guys who are role players, but not necessarily game changers. Now, because of course a game changer is like TJ Watt, Bud Dupree right now, because he's on fire, Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I'd say they're one step behind where Joe Hayden is for this defense, because they're able to come in and play different roles. Because Mike Hilton is great at blitzing. He's really helpful against the run, checking people at the line of scrimmage. And he has that horizontal quickness that's not necessarily straight line speed, but closing speed that makes it so that, hey, if you're trying to run away from me, I'm going to make you have to either throw that ball if you're a quarterback, or you're going to have to try and get to that sideline a little bit quicker if you're a running back or just a guy with the ball in your hand that can't throw. And those roles that they play, because Cam Sutton on the back end, Cam Sutton, and if you followed me for a long time, from my early days at DKPittsburghSports.com, when they drafted Cam Sutton, I was like, this guy has a lot of potential. He's very smart. When he played for Tennessee, he played free safety, strong safety, slot corner, and outside corner. He did it all. And it wasn't his official titles, but he just moved around wherever they need him. And he was proficient at doing it. And for the Steelers, he's done that. His first real action in the Steelers defense came on the night where they lost Ryan Shazier in that 2017 season, because Joe Hayden also went down. And he had to go out and cover A.J. Green. And he did a really good job. And then after that, they bounced him around. He's played some slot corner. He's been helping out. They wanted to add him as an extra safety. They haven't done that as much. But the fact that he can play those roles is huge, because that adds to that flexibility that I was talking about that was so important in the last segment. And when I look at how this team is built, I just see a lot of that flexibility from these two guys and understanding what their role is on the team. Because what happens is a lot of times you don't necessarily see guys understanding what their role is. You see sometimes they try to do a little bit too much, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, you know, some guys, they'll know they're not supposed to blitz, but then they do it anyways. And there are certain guys in their careers, you might remember, like Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, they get that lineage because they are great at what they do. Like James Harrison on his pick six against Kurt Warner in Super Bowl 43. Legendary play, the greatest defensive play in the history of the Super Bowl. But that wasn't his call. Or that wasn't the call on the play. He was supposed to blitz there. He just saw what Kurt Warner was trying to do, jump back and pick the pass off. That was his decision. Ryan Clark, the free safety for the Steelers during that era as well, he often said he didn't know what Troy was doing, but the whole point was to let Troy do what he did, because his instincts and understanding what the defense did along with what opponents like to do made him a threat to figuring out what the offense was getting at. That's where I look at this team and see not as many players trying to do all of that. But when you have guys that can play their role and play it well and make it so that there's all these different moving chess pieces, it helps keep the defense together. Because with these guys covering in the slot, now you don't have Robert Spillane trying to cover a wide receiver in the middle of the field. Now you don't have, you know, Joe Hayden having to come off the inside man to help in the slot. You can let people play at their jobs a little bit better because they're there. And I think that's bigger than what most people want to give them credit for. And we can look at the numbers so far this year. According to Pro Football Reference, through five games, Mike Hilton, he's been targeted 21 times, allowed 15 catches for 167 yards, and one touchdown. In the slot, we're in a league at a time when the passing numbers are high up. That isn't that bad at all. That's actually pretty good. And especially when you consider how he's plays a ton of snaps for this team. That's extremely good. And when you think about it, 167 yards over five games, that's a little over 33 yards a game. If you're beating a guy for 33 yards in what, three catches a game, that's nothing. I'll take that all day from a cornerback. Because that means you're shutting down someone's major option on the inside. Cam Sutton, now not nearly as many snaps, but he's only been targeted once. And he did allow a completion, but he also had that interception that was huge when he came off, when the play sort of broke down and he sort of read where he was supposed to go and then it was able to sky up to intercept that ball. Technically, it wasn't a target to him, but it was a big play on his part. Now, also, you should understand target numbers for defensively, these advanced statistics, they are a bit muddled. It's very subjective. You know, when a person says who got targeted for what, Pro Football Reference says that Minkah Fitzpatrick's been targeted 10 times and allowed 7 completions. But, you know, I think it was CBS for the game. They were saying that Minkah Fitzpatrick's been targeted 4 times. I've tried to figure out what those numbers are. If someone else can figure it, can let me know, I'd be happy to hear that. But I go off of Pro Football Reference because that's where I get a lot of my statistics and number crunching and what I do when I'm calculating things. But when you look at these two guys and the fact that they play these different roles and neither of them have really let up a whole lot, they're doing a pretty doggone good job. And again, that allows Joe Hayden to just play in his spot and do what he has to do. That allows Steven Nelson to play in his spot and do what he has to do. That allows Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick. And honestly, Terrell Edmonds is right in this conversation as well as far as the versatility, because he's also part of covering the tight ends and covering the running backs. And also, you look at his coverage numbers, he's been targeted 20 times, allowed 13 catches for 169 yards. So roughly, the same kind of numbers that Mike Hilton's given up. And Terrell Edmonds is out there every single play, pretty much. And he's also not given up a touchdown. Again, this is all according to Pro Football Reference. But these guys that patrol that middle part of the field and move everywhere, it takes a lot of football savvy to do these things. This is why I get on people who get on these players when they make a mistake and they say, "Oh, you're so stupid because you missed this." No, you don't understand. Football is extremely complex, especially when you're talking about all the different disguises that a defense wants to do, especially with great defenses. And I think this defense has a lot of potential to be great this year. They're on their path. They're on their way to being great. I'll say that right now. But when I look at how this team's playing and the ways that they're able to move across the middle part of the field, the efforts of Mike Hilton, Cameron Sutton, and Terrell Edmonds, if you think about it, all play into this very well. And they're good role players. So don't overlook that when you're talking about this defense. And again, I think this feeds right into my point. The Steelers aren't going to miss Bush as much as they missed Shazier. And because of players like this, they don't have to sell out to revamp their defense just because they lost them. That's what we got for you here today on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks so much for all those who do enjoy the show. If you want to enjoy more of us, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. We really appreciate those who do. If you can, please leave a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. I will read your review on the show. If you leave a 5-star review with a positive comment, that stuff really helps us out in getting the word about what we're doing here. If you want to get more of kind of the environment that we put together here, join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Just go on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. There's about 780 people in the group right now, but you'll be in a group with lots of loyal Steelers fans that get the jokes of this show and get the points of this show. And I'm in there as well. You'll be able to interact with me there. You can also interact with several guests of this show, like Tony Serino, like Dean Iampietro, like Hunter Homestek, like Adam Crowley, Wesley Euler, Joshua Taylor, all of them in there. So you can talk with us during games, during weeks, ask us questions, and just get to know other Steelers fans that are fans of the show here as well. If you want to see more of me, you can also follow me on Twitter @CarterCritiques. If you follow me, I will follow you back. And again, read my work on DKPittsburghSports.com. I cover the University of Pittsburgh football and basketball teams, but I also do my analysis work on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I got my Carter's Classroom up explaining more about why, the film work of why the Steelers can replace Devin Bush and not be hurt too much. Again, thanks for watching this, or listening to the show. I'll be back in your ears tomorrow.